whether it was a job that you were paid for or a physically demanding job that you did in your house, something that you did that really was really, really hard, and by the end of the day, you just sort of collapsed into your bed. For me, the hardest job that I had physically was when I worked the overnight shift from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. at Target. And the reason I wanted that job was two reasons. One, it paid $2 more per hour than working on the day shift. And number two, I was about 18 or 19, and I had heard that the night shift was all in Spanish. And I really wanted to continue to work on my Spanish. And so I went to my day manager and asked if she would put me on this night shift. And she said, it's all in Spanish. It's like not in English at all. And I said, I know, that's one of the reasons I really want this job. So she said, all right, go ahead. So on my first day, I was walking up to the line, and there were some ladies, and they were talking about me in Spanish. Now, it was nothing, you know, rude or inappropriate, but just in case it was going to head over in that direction, I kind of walked up and I said, hola, me llamo Tracy, estoy aquí para trabajar con ustedes y quiero saber si me pueden ayudar. We became fast friends. The job was super physically demanding, even though they put me with the other ladies in what they call soft lines, which is clothes. It was really heavy pulling off big boxes of boxer briefs or sweatpants off the truck. So we'd spend the first couple of hours maybe unloading the truck, and then we put everything on big carts, and we'd drive it around the store and restock all the shelves. My dad still likes to joke about how I would talk about the various nuances between your briefs, your boxer briefs, and your boxers in men's underwear. I had no idea that there were so many options and choices. I got to know my coworkers really well when I was working on that shift. And whereas I was a college student saving a little bit of money for college, this was my only job, almost everybody that I worked with was going directly from this job to another job, sometimes after a couple of hours of sleep. So whereas I was working 8 hours a day, they were working, some people, 16 hours per day. From job to job. And I noticed something the first time that we had a payday. After the payday, there was a long line of people that were waiting to talk to the manager about their paychecks. They felt like there were 15 minutes here and there that were maybe not accounted for on their paychecks, or they wanted to know exactly how tax withholding happened and how they were being paid. And I remember talking to one of my coworkers who said, you have to be careful because sometimes your wages get stolen. Now, I don't think, you know, please, if everybody hear me say, I don't believe that Target Corporation is guilty of this. I've never heard anything or seen any investigation that Target is guilty of this. But I do believe that some of my friends and coworkers, many of whom worked in migrant farm working and other factories, I believe that they were so sensitive to this because it had happened to them or to somebody that they know. And as I sent out in our weekly e-notes this week as a sort of preview, wage theft is very common in our country. Different sources estimate that $50 to $60 billion every year in the United States is lost to some sort of wage theft. And wage theft we can define as non-payment of overtime, not giving workers their last paycheck after they leave a job, not paying for all hours worked, not paying minimum wage, not paying a worker at all. And if you go on to wagetheft.org, you can read stories, I think they're pseudonyms of people, but stories of people who have had this happen to them. Maybe they trusted a friend who said that he had a construction job and that he would pay them at the end of the week, but then that payment never came. Or I read stories of people who were told by their employer that their employer would put money on a prepaid debit card, but then weird and wacky things happened and they never got paid. I think of my friends on the Target overnight line who worked in those other jobs, and I wonder how many of them had been victims of wage theft in some way. They learned the hard way to look at their paychecks very, very carefully. Our scripture for today says this: do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry out to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. I feel like things have changed quite a bit in terms of paying workers daily. We have lots of jobs where in our country where we pay people weekly, but I think the general sentiment still stands. So think again back to that physical job that I asked you to think about at the beginning of the sermon. Maybe it was a time when you were moving. Kathy was talking about this today, bringing boxes with Carol up and down 3 flights of stairs. Or maybe it was some construction project you did at home. Or maybe you had a very physical job sometime in your life. And imagine what it would be like to work that job day in and day out for 16 hours a day, week after week, month after month. And imagine what it would feel like if your wages were stolen from you for doing that kind of work. So what's our responsibility in the face of widespread wage theft and injustice? What can we do about it? Like I said, I think our scripture gives us some hints when it says, pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and counting on it. Now, I don't think any of us who get a paycheck would say that we're not counting on our wages. Of course we are. That's why we work for them. But I think there are a lot of people who count on their paycheck in ways that we can never really understand. People in service professions who need to work several jobs put together simply to pay rent and food and those basic necessities of life. So if we have influence in any business, no matter how big or how small, we have a job to do when it comes to paying wages. We must be as fair as we possibly can be, and we must never pay our workers late. I think it means something different for every business and every company, but I really liked that prayer of the day that we prayed this morning when it says, help us to be your people working for a world where all workers are valued, a world where all workers everywhere share in the abundance that you have given us. I wonder, too, if one of the areas that we can work towards a just system of work and payment is to tip workers fairly. I don't know if you've ever overheard people talking about bad service that they've received at a restaurant or at a nail salon or wherever, and then they decide to sort of teach a lesson to that service professional by not giving any tips. And I do understand that because we have a system where we want to show people how we feel by the money that we give them. But I do think that more often than not, when we have bad service at a restaurant, or when our nail technician doesn't do exactly what we thought he or she should do, that it's not that person's responsibility, it's the responsibility of the entire system. The person was maybe given too many responsibilities for the hours in which they had to work. Maybe they were exhausted from working 2 different jobs. Those of us who might feel called to make a difference for worker justice on a large scale might consider taking a look at an organization called Interfaith Worker Justice. And it's an organization right here in Chicago. I have a friend who was on staff there for many years, and I came to appreciate the work that they do. Interfaith Worker Justice investigates issues of fair wages for all, health and safety at work, the right to organize, and immigration and racial justice. And then there's another work project called the Theology of Work Project. And I love this very simple summary of what they do. It says, employers must regard their obligations to their lowest employees as sacred and binding. Not all of us in this space have employees, but all of us make choices about where we spend our money. We can choose to patronize corporations and companies that have made a public commitment to just work practices. We can choose to take a look at where our clothing is made and whether or not the people who made that clothing have been paid fairly for the work that they do. Do we choose to bring just work practices to the front when we're shopping and purchasing? Do we even think about it at all? For me, the answer is sometimes yes and sometimes no. And I'm guessing that you might feel that way too. One of the traps we can get into as Christians when we're trying to make a difference in something is that we take an all or nothing approach. We feel like if we can't investigate every single piece of clothing and where it's made and who was paid for doing what, then we might as well just forget the whole thing. Or if we don't know the ins and outs of every corporation that we purchase from, well, what difference does it make? I would encourage us in this and any issue that we feel passionate about to think about taking one small step in a direction towards justice. So it was now 22 years ago that I was working on that line at Target, because I'm becoming an old lady. But I wonder about the men and women that I worked with on that line. Did they make it out of their situation? Are they now able to live a more rest-filled and comfortable life? Or are they still working 16 hours a day trying to make ends meet? I hope it's the former. I hope that many of my former colleagues have found rest for their bodies and jobs that pay the bills more easily. Either way, there's much work for us to do as a country. Now, this afternoon, we might be going to queue for a cause, or we might be going to family for barbecue, or we might have a barbecue plan tomorrow, or some way to celebrate Labor Day with food and fun and family. And I think that's a great way to spend a day off. Potato salad, deviled eggs, barbecue chicken. It's a way for us to celebrate and to take a rest. But as we do that, as we enjoy that abundance and the food and the family, let us also give thanks to God for those people who are working for labor justice in our country and pray that we might somehow be called to join them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.